Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. Homes.com offers in-depth neighborhood guides with detailed video overviews, comprehensive narratives, and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. You thought we'd go in-depth with player analysis on fantasy baseball today? You haven't seen anything yet. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. When looking at local schools, they offer test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
Oh, and first pitch crushing! Deep left field! This is way back! Welcome on!
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
What's up, and welcome into Fantasy Baseball Today on Monday, June 13th. Frank Sample joined by Scott White and Chris Towers. Today on the show, we had a major injury to one of the top starting pitchers drafted this season, waiver wire ads, hitters that are heating up in June, starter sit, and much more, but let's get started.
Oh my goodness gracious.
All right, let's go with Scott. Oh my goodness gracious from the weekend.
Well, Frank, I like a good burger. I don't know about you. I like a good, juicy burger. And the White Sox enjoyed one of those this weekend themselves. Jake Burger, the Burger Man, he homered again over the weekend. He's been homering a lot lately. He's hit four home runs in his past eight games, and he's got that batting average looking respectable too. A OPS is over 800. He looks like his stats look like what you'd expect a major league corner man stats to look like, which suggests to me that that's what he is. And it's worth pointing out, because the White Sox, a team that struggled with offense all year, someone on their team who hasn't looked much like a major league hitter for a while now is Yoan Moncada, their third baseman. Moncada's still been getting some starts, but Berger's been playing more regularly, getting some at third base, but getting some time at DH. They just sent Gavin Sheets down. He's going to stop bothering White Sox fans. It's going to create even more room for Burger in the lineup. So I think the White Sox are committed to Burger now. They've had enough chicken and pork. They're all in on the Burger. And like, he hits the ball really hard. Like, I don't think the power hitting is a question. His average exit velocity is like 91 miles per hour. Like, he strikes out too much, bad plate discipline. But at third base, I welcome the addition of another power source.
Yeah, 100%. He has started seven games in a row. You mentioned they're trying to find ways to get his bat in the lineup. And the power metrics really line up with everything he's doing right now. 90.8 mile per hour average exit velocity, 114 max EV, 16% barrel rate. There's a lot to like about Jake Burger right now. But there was a few other corner infielders that kind of popped off the screen this weekend as well. Bobby Dalbec had two homers his last 16 games. He's batting .280 with four home runs. He's hitting the ball extremely hard. The strikeout rate is down for him. And we saw last year from August 1st on, when Dalbec was striking out less, he was like one of the best power hitters over the final 2 months of the season. And then Darren Ruff had a double dong on Friday, one off of a lefty, one off of a righty. I feel like we do this every couple of weeks. We bring up Darren Ruff, but he's still kind of interesting. Chris, how would you rank those three? Jake Burger, Bobby Dalbec, and Darren Ruff, if you are looking for a corner infielder.
I think Dalbec and Burger are probably the Spider-Man meme. You know, the one where they're both pointing at each other. And there might be a third one there with Patrick Wisdom off to the side as well. I feel like those are all kind of the same guy. But, you know, Patrick Wisdom's pretty widely rostered and has been useful this season with Power. Well, where are we at on Power? You know, like Power, it seemed like Power was going to be at a premium. And then all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, offense has really started to bounce back. So I don't know how much we need to be chasing every Power source. But yeah, I think, I guess I'd rather have Berger than Dahlbeck just because we've seen Berger fail less often than Dahlbeck. But
I think
they're probably pretty similar players.
In theory, yeah. I mean, Patrick Wisdom is for sure a low 200s batting average because he doesn't just strike out 30% of the time. He strikes out like 35%+ of the time. So, you know, but he's, I think, probably the most reliable power source of the three, too. So it's Berger's the biggest question mark, but that also presents the upside of the mystery box, too. Right. It could be an invincibility star, or it could be, I don't know, what bad comes out of the question mark box in Mario Brothers.
Sometimes you hit the fake box.
Well, yeah, you hit the fake box, or it's like it's the lightning bolt, the fire, the flower that gives you firepower, but you already got it. So
it's not great.
Am I going to jump up there for 2,000?
One green shell.
Yeah.
Is that Mario Kart that you were referencing, Chris? Because that's where mine started.
That's what Scott was referencing, right?
I think he was talking about just Mario, Super Mario Brothers. In general. Yeah.
Oh, you say Mario. Interesting.
Mario. I don't know. Anyway, it's probably like a New York thing. Jake Berger. Yeah, I agree. I would take him ahead of Bobby Dahlbeck, but I do like both quite a bit. If you are still seeking out power, and they are both widely available. Jake Berger is 20% rostered, and he's got 6 road games this week. Bobby Dahlbeck, 17% rostered. He has 6 home games this week. Chris, oh my goodness gracious, for you from the weekend.
Well, I thought about doing Nelson Cruz, who hit 2 home runs and is starting to show signs of life, but I'll go with Washington Nationals teammate Luis Garcia, who had 7 more hits this weekend and 13 at-bats, 4 hard hit balls, 3 of them coming today. He's off to a very good start this season, hitting .372 with a 15.6% strikeout rate, showing some good signs with the quality of contact. He's someone that I added in Tout Wars today, and I'm going to try to add him wherever I can, because I think Luis Garcia, as we talked about last week, there is real potential for him to be an above-average hitter, if not a standout.
Mm-hmm. And he's also widely available. 21% rostered is Luis Garcia. Looking at names that are much more universally rostered, like, would you drop an Owen Miller for him, Chris?
Sure.
Would you drop?
I had to drop someone, and I have both Luis Garcia and Jake Cronenworth on the team. Mm-hmm. I didn't drop Cronenworth, but I thought about it.
All right. So, yeah, I know that you are huge into him, and you, I think, moved him inside like your top 20 second baseman. So mm-hmm. I get it. He comes with some prospect pedigree, and so far he's off to a great start here with the Washington Nationals. How about
he's a top 10 sleeper hitter for this week too.
There you go.
Luis Garcia.
Yes, the Nationals have 8 games this week, correct? So
yep.
I know him and Lane Thomas were 2 sleepers for you, Scott. Would you be okay dropping 2 names that are over 60% rostered? Would you drop Tyro Estrada and Gavin Lux for Luis Garcia?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I would.
I thought you were asking Chris, but...
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I may still have Lux ranked like 1 spot higher, but I actually might have just made that move. I've been pretty disappointed. Yeah, I've got Lux behind Luis Garcia now, so yeah, I'll go ahead and do that.
I don't know, and I know he had a pretty good weekend, but I don't know what we're still holding out for with Gavin Lux. Yeah. He has 2 home runs. I mean,
yeah,
prospect pedigree there, but
yeah,
the underlying numbers are all pretty miserable.
The batting average has climbed quite a bit for Gavin Lux. I think he's approaching .300, but only 2 homers. Handful of steals is nice, but I would take the shot on Luis Garcia. I think I just feel better about the playing time for Garcia as well over a Gavin Lux. All right, so some hitters there. Again, Luis Garcia, Jake Berger, Bobby Dahlbeck. I want to talk about a reliever. Tanner Houck is going to be the oh my goodness gracious player for me. And this weekend, he had saves on both Friday and Saturday, and we've referenced this many times. The Red Sox have been searching and searching for someone to step up, close games for them consistently. You know, they've tried Hansel Robles in the role. He blew another save on Saturday, and they've mixed and matched with Matt Strom and Matt Barnes to start the season. But Tanner Houck is someone that really kind of seems like he would make sense in the closer role. He's got that sweeping slider. He throws pretty hard, you know, gets a good amount of whiffs. So I'm pretty interested in Tanner Houck potentially taking over this role. He's 35% rostered. Scott, places where you need saves. Are you looking to add Tanner Houck? Do you have some faith here in him taking over as closer?
Yeah, I mean, well, the guy gets a save on back-to-back days for a team that hasn't nailed down a closer yet. I think you have to assume he's the front runner at this point. And, you know, heading into that stretch, Alex Cora said he was going to try and use him as more of a late inning guy after, you know, he began the year in the rotation and then a multi-inning reliever. And so I guess this is the role he had in mind. I mean, certainly the arsenal is there for him to be an effective closer. He'll have to be consistent about it, but it's not like there's much competition on the Red Sox. So I would say, you know, I might prioritize, I don't know if I want to say it. It doesn't sound good as I was about to say it, but Tanner Scott is widely available too and has the Marlins' last two or three saves and I think is emerging as the front runner there. I mean, the Red Sox are a better team, I guess. Yeah, I think I would go Houck.
Better team.
I think I would go Houck over Scott.
Okay. Chris, which Tanner do you prefer, Scott or Houck? Scott picked up another save on Friday, and that was back-to-back saves for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting a ton of strikeouts this season, and he has completely, I mean, he's gone all in, Tanner Scott has, on his slider. He's throwing it 72% of the time this season, which actually probably isn't that dissimilar from how Tanner Houck's going to throw as a relief pitcher. I would say I probably prefer Houck just because I think he's on a better team. I think they're probably pretty similar in terms of how good they'll be moving forward. I've never been much of a believer in Houck as a starter, but as a reliever, I think that two-pitch approach can work.
Yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense. Scott, a few relievers I see getting dropped, and rightfully so, I guess. Danny Jimenez, over the weekend, he gave up a few more runs, takes another blown save and loss on Friday. His ERA is now up to 4.70. And Giovanni Gallegos just kind of seems like he is not the closer any longer for the St. Louis Cardinals. Would you drop both of those names for either or both of the Tanners?
I think that's a hard choice.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a shallow league and it's like, whatever, I'll go with the hot hand, whoever it is, because there'll be somebody new soon enough, then I think fine, go ahead and do it. But, you know, if it's a league where it was really painful for you to get Jimenez and who's the other one?
Gallegos.
Yeah, Gallegos. Well, obviously you drafted Gallegos, but if it would be really painful to get them back, let's say, because we don't really have much clarity on the Cardinals situation. They haven't had many save chances lately. There've been a lot of like extra inning games, tie game situations where Helsley has followed Gallegos more often than not, but sometimes Gallegos has followed Helsley, and so it's there's not a lot of clarity there. Like I don't feel confident saying, oh, Helsley's the guy to have over Gallegos at this point. So that would be the one I'd be more hesitant with. Jimenez, I mean, yeah, he's been terrible. Who else do they have? I'm going to try and cut this short and just say I would rank Jimenez fourth of that group, but I probably still rank Gallegos one in terms of who I want to roster.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, Oakland is tough right now. I was putting in some speculative ads on like AJ Puck in deeper category leagues. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. He does not have any saves or I even think save opportunities, but yeah, it's not working right now for Danny Jimenez and the Oakland A's. All right, let's get into the big news from the weekend. Unfortunately, Walker Buehler is dealing with a flexor strain in his right elbow and won't throw for at least 6 weeks. And Chris, I saw you tweeting about, you know, that timeline, not throwing for 6 weeks. That means he would still have to ramp back up. So we're looking at, I don't, if everything works out, maybe an August return for Walker Buehler. But
yeah, I mean, then, like a best case scenario would be what? Yeah, probably mid-August. That's like if he hits that 6-week timetable and then, you know, 2 weeks of ramp up, 2 weeks of rehab assignments, like that's asking a lot. You know, it could easily get into September without even a setback, just being on the later end of this timetable. So I don't want to tell people to drop Walker Buehler, but if you're in one of those leagues where you don't have an IL spot, you're going to have to consider it.
Yeah, no, that's a real question. Scott, what do you think? Would you look, obviously it's really tough. It depends who's available too, but NFBC leagues, for example, no IL spot, only 7 bench spots. Would you drop Walker Buehler in a league like that?
I try not to. I do think it's on the table. It's a similar timetable that Max Scherzer got. And in theory, these are similarly capable pitchers. I know Scherzer was pitching well and Buehler wasn't, but you know, maybe we have an explanation now for why Buehler wasn't pitching so well. His forearm wasn't 100%. But yeah. I do always worry about the forearm strain being a precursor to something worse, as I, you know, I was going on about Zach Gallen coming into the season. And that could be happening with Buehler too. So I in a way, I feel worse about his recovery than Scherzer's.
Oh, definitely for me, yeah.
Yeah. But I'd try
it's to a more. It's a more worrisome injury.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, a forearm strain versus a lat is just it's a more concerning injury.
Yeah, and look at, you know, Jesus Luzardo is another pitcher who's had a forearm strain, and he suffered that a month ago. He hasn't thrown a ball yet. So, I mean, I think the Dodgers are going to be very cautious with Walker Buehler, and rightfully so. I mean, I'll give you an example. My TGFBI league, which is hosted on the NFBC website, 7 bench spots. I have Colton Wong, Fernando Tatis, Tim Anderson, Matt Chapman, Franmil Reyes, Eduardo Rodriguez, Freddy Peralta.
You drop Rodriguez before him, I guess, he's going to be back first.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could be in a situation like that, and it's a mess right now.
Yeah, I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez, you said?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's somebody you're not confident is even going to be a viable option for your team, then that's the person to drop instead no matter when he's coming back. So that makes it easy. If there's a silver lining to this Buehler thing, though, remember we were wondering what the Dodgers were going to do when Clayton Kershaw and Andrew Heaney got back. Is Tyler Anderson still going to have a spot in the rotation? Well,
like I said,
life finds a way.
Life finds. Yeah, you're right, Chris. So Andrew Heaney, by the way, I'll have an update on him in a little bit. 72% rostered if you want to pick him up and stash him for now. All right. So look, obviously Walker Buehler was a second or third round pick in most leagues, and you're not just going to replace his production, even though he was kind of shaky at times. But let's try to do that. Waiver wire pitchers from the weekend in shallow leagues. We keep bringing up Jeffrey Springs, so I will mention him once again. He's 76% rostered and one of Scott's sleeper pitchers this week. He has now posted back-to-back scoreless outings, and he was solid again at the Twins. 5 1/3 shutout with 5 strikeouts, drops the ERA to 1.45. But we've talked a lot about Jeffrey Springs. Go add him if he is available. Other players who are more likely available. Spencer Strider had his best start of the season. He was up against the Pirates, 5 2/3 shutout with 8 strikeouts. John Gray, a nice bounce back after a rough start earlier in the week. 6 innings of 1-run ball, 10 strikeouts at the Chicago White Sox. Michael Lorenzen posted his 7th quality start in 10 tries this season against the Mets. 6 1/3, 1 run with 4 strikeouts. Taiwan Walker on Sunday Night Baseball, season high 10 strikeouts against the Angels. 18 swinging strikes. Where did that come from? It was awesome start by him. And then Ross Stripling. It was a 2-start week for Ross Stripling. Fantastic matchups. He was at the Royals and at the Tigers. He goes 11 shutout innings, 2 hits allowed, 6 strikeouts. Obviously not going to get a ton of whiffs there, but I think he's kind of interesting. So, excuse me. Ross Stripling, Taiwan Walker, Michael Lorenzen, John Gray, Spencer Strider, Chris, who are, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 of your favorites from that group.
I think Strider is by far the most interesting, but what we've seen from him out of the bullpen, what we've seen from him in spurts as a starter, the upside's obviously super high with the swing strike rate that he has. So I think he's obviously the number one option and probably should be rostered, you know, in pretty much all leagues at this point. After that, it's a pretty uninspiring lot. I guess John Gray, his overall numbers are pretty middling, but he's been dealing with a bunch of like weird nagging injuries. And then, you know, the underlying numbers are a little better, 3.64 FIP, 3.76 XFIP. So I think I would take a chance on him, especially versus Detroit this week. That's a great matchup. So he would be the guy to go for if Spencer Strider's not available.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Chris. Strider is probably must roster at this point and far and away the best of this group. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember the first start, couple bad defensive plays behind him were basically responsible for all the runs, and the second start was at Coors Field. So this was, I think he got a fair shake in this one, and look what happened.
Spencer Strider, by the way, from your Atlanta Braves, Scott, they're red hot. 11 in a row. Let's go.
Still several games behind the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to take some time, but moving in the right direction, it's always a good thing. John Gray, by the way, the matchup this week at the Tigers. So that is just absolutely fantastic. If you just need someone to play this week, Taijuan Walker as well. I don't trust the strikeouts at all, but he's going up against the Marlins this week. He's 54% roster. Don't mind that. Ross Stripling. Don't like the matchup against the Yankees, but I think he's kind of interesting. He's getting a lot of ground balls. The control has been fantastic. He only has 8 walks over 43 innings pitched, a career high swinging strike rate supported by throwing more secondary pitches, the slider and the changeup. Scott, any interest in Ross Stripling?
I mean, I've gotten burned enough by Ross Stripling over the years that I am skeptical. His two turns here are like one hit allowed in each and just ridiculously efficient. He threw 56 over 5 innings in the first one. He threw 62 over 6 innings in this most recent one. But he's been an all-star before, and they're in the past, I've really liked him. That's why I've gotten burned so much. It is interesting to hear he has a career-high swinging strike rate. I hadn't noticed that.
I mean, so, I'll say I don't see anything he's doing that Martin Perez isn't doing. It's like I'm as interested in Ross Stripling as I am in Martin Perez.
Well, I mean,
their numbers are actually almost identical.
Another 2 months of Ross Stripling doing this, I would say for sure.
In deeper leagues, some names, well, actually very deep leagues, some names that stood out from the weekend. John Heasley, he pitches for the Royals, by the way. He has turned in 3 quality starts in a row. Andre Pallante, he made a strong start for the Cardinals this weekend against the Reds, 5 1/3 shutout with 4 strikeouts. And he has such an interesting delivery. I was trying to figure out, he looks exactly like another pitcher. Kenley Jansen, that was the one. Andre Pallante, his form looks exactly like Kenley Jansen. So, completely random, but I finally figured it out, and I'm happy I did. Braxton Garrett was another name this weekend as well. An impressive start against the Astros. 5 2/3, 1 unearned run, 5 strikeouts. He had 15 swinging strikes against the Astros lineup. That's pretty damn impressive. Chris, any interest here in Braxton Garrett, Andre Pallante, and John Heasley in the deepest of leagues?
I think Garrett would probably be the only one who would register for me, and that's only because he was a prospect 5 years ago at this point. I mean, he's been a prospect since, but a prospect of some note before arm injuries. But no, outside of really deep leagues, I don't really have any interest in him.
Oh, right. Fair enough. Let's move over to some waiver wire hitters. We've already talked about a lot of names, Luis Garcia, Jake Berger, and Bobby Dalbec. I will bring up this name again. Maybe this is my Eric Hosmer of June, whatever. But Nathaniel Lowe, he's having a big June so far, and I'm just going to keep mentioning it. 341 batting average, 4 homers, 3 doubles, and OPS over 1,000. He's hitting the ball hard, and he's putting it in the air. So I am still pretty interested in Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah, I mean, he's always hit the ball pretty hard. He's had launch angle issues like Hosmer in the past. So, you know, if he can sustain that, then there may be something, but that's a very big if this deep into his career. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a small sample, right? It's only June so far, so we're, what, 12 days in, and I want to see him sustain it. But look, this is what it would look like if Nathaniel Lowe was breaking out, putting the ball in the air and barreling it up as much as he is. How would you rank these outfielders? These all did something of note from the weekend. Brandon Marsh had a double dong on Friday, but overall has slowed down quite a bit for the Angels. He's 44% rostered. Andrew McCutchen had a solid weekend. 5 hits, 1 homer, 2 steals. He's 28% rostered. We're starting to get some speed from Michael Harris with the Braves. He stole 2 bases over the weekend. He's batting .296 overall. He's 96th percentile in sprint speed. And Adam Duvall, who I believe was a sleeper for you last week, Scott. So kudos to you. Had a double dong on Sunday, and he's having a strong June. 278 batting average, four homers, an OPS over 1,000, 34% rostered. Scott, how would you rank those? Marsh, McCutchen, Michael Harris, and Adam Duvall.
I would go, well, like if home runs are your greatest need, probably Duvall goes to the front of this group. But just in a vacuum, all things being equal, I would say Harris, then Duvall, then Marsh, then McCutchen. I can note that recently Harris made a change to his stance. He lowered his hands lower than he's ever had them before. And that kind of coincides with him picking it up at the plate, though he still has yet to hit his first home run. And Duvall has been working on his launch angle. I heard them say during the Braves broadcast today, because he felt like he was hitting it too high, maybe in a way that worked in the past when the ball carried better. And, you know, I don't know how much of this recent success for Duvall has to do with that versus the ball is carrying better, because it's, you know, we're into the summer months now. But regardless, I think Duvall's best days are ahead, at least as far as 2022 goes.
All right. And on tomorrow's podcast, we will take a deeper look at offense so far in June and what's happening right now. Home run to fly ball ratio. It just seems like offense is up in general, which would coincide with humidors and, you know, things that we kind of theorized in the past. In deeper leagues, a few names that stood out. Christian Betancourt, last four games, he plays catcher and first base for Oakland. He's got 9 hits over his last 4 games, 3 homers, 1 steal. He hits the ball very hard, 92 mile per hour, average exit velocity, very impressive barrel rate as well. That is Christian Betancourt. And then Kevin Kiermaier had a sock and a shoe on Sunday. He's now up to 7 homers, 5 steals. He's 9% rostered. Chris, do you have any interest in Betancourt or Kiermaier in deeper leagues?
Both are somewhat interesting for deeper leagues. Betancourt, if you're in a league that's deeper than 12 teams with 2 catchers, and even maybe a two catcher 12 team league, he's playing enough that you're getting some kind of edge on a lot of catchers there. But would much rather have Gabriel Moreno, who just got called up, than Betancourt. And Betancourt wasn't one of the catchers that I added this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had him behind both Gabriel Moreno and Cal Raleigh. So in those two catcher leagues where I was looking to make some moves, those were basically my top three in that order. It was Moreno, then Raleigh, and then Betancourt, just because he is playing as much as he is and hits the ball hard.
I added Kirk Casale over him in one league as well.
Okay. Yeah, Joey Bart was sent down recently by the Giants, so Casale playing quite a bit for them. And speaking of, you know, moves that we were making and bids from the weekend, I wanted to point out some that I made, and if you guys have anything that you guys were looking to do. In Tout Wars, a 12-team head-to-head points league, I added Oscar Gonzalez for $13 out of a $1,000 budget, Chris Archer for $7. It's a head-to-head points league, but it uses Roto-style lineups, so 5 outfielders and 9 pitcher spots, so it does go a little bit deeper there. In the NFBC main event, 15-team Roto League, I added Alex Kirilloff for $22. The backup bid was $8 out of $1,000. I was so shocked to get Alex Kirilloff. I'm so happy. I hope he gets called up tomorrow.
I'm trying to get him everywhere he's available, because he's been homered 3 times again over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's up to 9 home runs at AAA. And that only started, he's only been there like a month, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm definitely trying to add Kirilloff wherever I can. Bobby Dalbec, I dropped Yuli Gurriel for him, $13. I got Gabriel Moreno for $7. In a two-catcher league out of $1,000. So, okay, do that. Stephen Kwan I picked up because they have 3 games in Coors Field. I also added Jake McGee for $6 because he picked up a save on Sunday, and I just don't trust Gabe Kapler, and I could just see him mixing and matching, and I am desperate for saves. Were you guys making any moves on Sunday Fab that stood out worth mentioning?
Like I mentioned, I got Casale. I added Sir Anthony Dominguez in Tout Wars.
Yep.
That's a saves plus holds league, so I was, you know, more interested in him there. Although I did add him in one just saves league, and then Luis Garcia as well.
Yeah. No, I think Sir Anthony Dominguez, and that's S-E-R. It's not like he was knighted. It's Sir Anthony Dominguez.
It's still a sick name. Like, I kind of just, like, should I call you Sir Scott White moving forward? It's, we can make it happen.
I think if you're in one of those leagues where you know, there's a big bidding war every time a new closer emerges. Like that's a perspective one to pick up. I mean, Corey Knebel's not healthy right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he hasn't been reliable even when he has been. Now they think it's a day-to-day shoulder thing, but Sir Anthony Dominguez's numbers this year, his first back from Tommy John surgery,
34% strikeout rate, 29 and 22 and thirds in two-thirds innings.
Yep. Only a 161 ERA, 0.94 whip, 11.7 K per nine.
Yep.
And he had 16 if you've been playing fantasy for a few years, you may remember he had 16 saves as a rookie in 2018, and then he had injuries. So this is really the first we've seen of him for an extended run since then. And he looks awesome. So hopefully he can be some stealthy saves, not to root against Corey Knebel or anything. But I have more Sir Anthony Dominguez at this point.
Yeah. Corey Knebel, by the way, 8.3 K per nine, 5 walks per nine. That is just a rough K to walk ratio so far this season. Scott, any moves that you wanted to highlight that you were looking to make on Sunday?
Well, I don't know if Chris was quite done, but
yep.
Look, I just won Gabriel Moreno. I was surprised. Okay. So in 2 15 team leagues, I won Gabriel Moreno for, I won him for $28 in Tout Wars, and I won him for $39 in TGFBI. And these are two catcher leagues, 15 teams. I don't know what's going
on. We're kind of at that point in the year where guys can slip through the cracks.
Yeah, I guess. People running low on fab, you know.
Yeah, Scott, I got Moreno for $7 in a two catcher league out of a $1,000 budget, so.
Yeah.
I was pretty excited to look, we'll see what happens with Danny Jansen, but I mean, take a shot on one of the best prospects in the game, and if he hits, he's gonna stick around. Like it's
Now I'm wondering if I won him in a league where I already have Salvador Perez and Alejandro Kirk, but it's just like, why am I not gonna bid on Gabriel Moreno in a 15 team league?
Yeah.
I did not win him in that league.
I agree with that.
That was only a $7 bid.
I think it's a good strategy, Scott, to like anytime you could stockpile assets, especially in a league that deep. I have a league where I drafted Mitch Garver and Alejandro Kirk as my two catchers. And I added MJ Melendez when he got called up because I was just, all right, hey, he's a prospect catcher who can hit. And now I start him over Mitch Garver. So, I mean, these things kind of find a way of working themselves out. So I would agree with that.
Another player I added in several leagues who we haven't mentioned yet is Bryson Stott, who homered at least once over the weekend. He's looked like a different player since Gene Sakura went down. It was also about the time Joe Girardi got fired, so you're credited to either one, I guess. But Stott's been in basically an everyday player since then, and during that time, he's hit all four of his home runs. Yes, he homered on Saturday. So he's up there with, I mean, I think Luis Garcia has more upside, but he's, as a second base shortstop eligible guy with upside, I think he's worth rostering on a similar level.
And there's something to be said for a young player who doesn't have to look over his shoulder and constantly worry about whether he's going to play that day or not. I mean, he's just playing. He's playing every day now. So I think that's something that can actually help with a young player's confidence, and right now it looks pretty good for Bryson Stott. Before we hit the break, I want to remind everyone to join our Fantasy Baseball Today Facebook group if you haven't already. That's facebook.com/groups/fantasybaseballtoday, and lots of interesting questions being asked there. You can ask your questions, waiver wire, trade, dynasty, keeper leagues, whatever you play in. Maybe you got a question about who to start or sit. You can drop those in on Monday, and a lot of people will respond. And it's just a fun community and a way to interact with other FBT listeners. So again, join up there on Facebook if you haven't already. We'll take a break and we'll be back right after this.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family.
The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The news and notes. Let's start with a few Mets aces. Max Scherzer is scheduled to throw live batting practice in the near future, while Jacob deGrom threw his third bullpen session on Saturday. Some good news there. I don't know when we'll see deGrom, but I don't know. Maybe both post All-Star break. That would,
I mean,
make sense.
If they're throwing bullpen sessions, you know, that I would say anytime within the next month is possible.
Yeah. They don't really need to rush those guys, I guess. I mean, yeah, they have a pretty good lead right
Their
now.
Their rotation has been bad since Scherzer's injury. They were like bottom 10 in ERA heading into the weekend since then. So they could certainly use Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom.
Oh, yeah. I think most teams probably could.
But they do have the luxury of knowing that they need them for September and October more than June and July.
For sure. Brandon Woodruff is experiencing numbness in the middle three fingers of his right hand and does not have a timeline for his return.
This is super concerning.
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't want to speculate, but I remember hearing this with several guys who ended up having thoracic outlet syndrome.
Oh, yeah. So
it could be nothing, but that's just the thing that jumped out to me. I remember Josh Beckett, I think, was one of the first guys I remember that, where that was the precursor issue.
So what it's referred to as is Raynaud's syndrome. Yeah. I don't really know anything about that, but doesn't sound good. Scott, anything you wanted to add, Scott? It sounded like you.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think Strasburg had the same thing before his, leading up to his thoracic outlet syndrome. So
yeah. Hopefully not.
Yeah,
hopefully not.
It's scary for Brandon Woodruff. I mean, another
pitchers are going down,
dropping right like now. Flies right now. Yeah, Woodruff and Buehler and Scherzer before that. It's scary. Tim Anderson will begin a rehab assignment at AAA on Tuesday. He's on the IL with a groin injury. Seiya Suzuki is not making progress with his sprained finger and remains without a timetable. Jack Flaherty will make a third rehab start on Wednesday. He's allowed just one run over his first two rehab starts. Like to see him performing well. Chris Sale will throw two live batters for the first time on Monday. It also turns out that he could return in a relief role at first just to get him back sooner. And I'm sure they would, you know, stretch him out, maybe use him for multiple innings in the bullpen. But that's the plan for now. Franmil Reyes will begin a rehab assignment on Tuesday with AAA. He's been out since May 25th with right hamstring tightness.
I'm going to plant a flag. This is going to go like it did for Joey Votto. Franmil Reyes is going to come back and look like himself.
Royce Lewis was transferred to the 60-day IL with a partially torn ACL, the second time he suffered that injury. Obviously, it was a complete tear last year or even 2 years ago. But
yeah, that's just terrible. So, I hate the, you know, injuries are part of sports, obviously. So, you know, you're never too surprised by them. But it was the same thing twice. Like that's what makes me really like that, because it just seems unfair, you know.
Yeah.
And Royce Lewis, like, his stock was probably the highest it's ever been, like in terms of what everybody was expecting for him. So just sucks.
Yep.
I don't really understand what the Angels are doing with Joe Adele, but what do I know? Adele puts together back-to-back multi-hit games and then is sent back to AAA this weekend. I believe it was on Saturday.
When you're enjoying the kind of success that they have been.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you can get Juan Lagares in the outfield instead, you know,
got to do it.
Makes any sense. Look, so
they also had Tyler Wade playing center field over Brandon Marsh today. So,
oh, and clearly he was terrible too.
Yeah, it was all awful.
So clearly, bad.
They're pulling all the right levers right now.
I don't get it. Look, I am obviously a little bit salty because I added Joe Adele in a few spots last week, and you know, I dropped him for Alex Kirilloff. Something I would recommend doing for other people, but. Yeah. It is frustrating. Orioles outfield prospect Kyle Stowers has joined their taxi squad and will likely make his debut in Toronto. And I'm speculating here, but I do wonder if he's only getting the call because maybe there's an Orioles outfielder or hitter who is unvaccinated and can't play in Toronto. So maybe this is a short stay, but Stowers, Scott, I know someone we've mentioned before on FBT and 5, and he's hitting .253, 12 homers in 49 games at AAA. So he does have some pop, if nothing else.
Yeah, it does. It's not a profile I generally love in a prospect. He's power over hit, and he has had strikeout issues in the past. Not so bad this year, about 25%. But yeah, I'm not making a big investment in Kyle Stowers.
All right. Corey Knable, we've mentioned multiple times. He's dealing with a tight shoulder and hopes to only miss a day or two, but it does sound scary. And Sir Anthony Dominguez is one you could speculate on there. Casey Mize will undergo Tommy John surgery, so pretty big blow for the Detroit Tigers. Andrew Heaney expected to throw at least 5 innings in his AA rehab start on Tuesday. He's 72% rostered, could be out there in some shallow leagues, some points leagues. Anthony DeSclafani went 3 scoreless innings at AAA rehab on Saturday. He's on the IL with an ankle injury. It actually turns out Andrew Kittredge needs Tommy John surgery. Last week they said he's going to have some loose bodies removed, but it is more severe than that, and we'll talk about Tampa's bullpen a little bit later on. No surprise, but Sixto Sanchez is not expected to pitch this year. He's still trying to work his way back from major shoulder, I believe it was some kind of surgery that he had.
Yeah, some kind of capsule.
Kyle Hendricks has been resting due to shoulder fatigue, but is lined up to start Tuesday against the Padres. Obviously, not much interest there. These players went to the IL this weekend. Nathan Eovaldi with lower back inflammation. Colton Wong with a right calf strain. Marcus Stroman with right shoulder inflammation. Garrett Whitlock with right hip inflammation. Jacob Junis diagnosed with a grade 2 hamstring strain. Mike Zunino with a left shoulder injury. Wade Miley with a left shoulder strain. Ramon Urias with a left oblique strain. And each of Mitch Garver, Glenn Otto, Garrett Cooper, and Mike Clevinger were all placed on the COVID IL this weekend.
Just can't get Clevinger back for any length of time.
No, it's been a mess. Starters sit these questionable players. Michael Kopech left Sunday with, I believe it was a knee injury, scheduled at Houston this week. Would you guys avoid that injury, tough matchup?
I would. It sounds like it's not 100% he's going to make that start. And it's a tough matchup anyway. So
you'd start him against them if he was healthy, but given the question, yeah.
All right. Joe Ryan will start Tuesday or Wednesday against the Mariners. He last made his start on May 21st. He's been on the COVID IL for quite some time.
He's not so necessary that I would start him in his first one back. You don't know how guys are going to respond from COVID, so I would sit him.
All right. Lance Lynn expected to make his season debut on Monday against the Tigers, which I believe would make him a 2-start pitcher.
Yep. He got moved up just tonight. It was announced he would go Sunday. It was announced he would go Monday instead of Tuesday, which, yes, does make him a 2-start pitcher, Frank. And I think means you need to activate him right away. His last rehab start was pretty awful, but.
He threw 79 pitches in 3 innings, so, you know.
Yeah, and he looked fine before then. And he's going against the Tigers for a start. Yeah. So I think go with Lance Lynn.
All right. A few hitters that are banged up. Matt Chapman has missed 2 straight with wrist soreness, and Yasmani Grandal was out Sunday with a leg injury. Would you guys maybe play it safe and get those guys out.
Chapman, definitely. You know, it looked like he was starting to turn it around. Then he struggled for the last week or so. So I would sit him. Grundahl, I don't know. Who do you got? Right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe you have like Cal Raleigh.
Are you carrying a third catcher? You probably shouldn't be.
Right.
Or a second catcher, I guess, in a two catcher league. Generally speaking, that's not the best usage of resources. So I'd probably
start. Well, what if it's a one catcher league? Which most are.
Yeah, like I don't know. Who are you carrying?
Well, I don't. Do you drop Grandal to get Gabriel Moreno, get William Contreras? I wouldn't
drop him.
Okay.
I don't think.
He's been pretty awful, but
he has been, but I don't know. I feel like we've seen stretches like this from Grandal before and he pulls out of it, and I just think the track record's long enough that I wasn't thinking about benching or cutting him before this injury, and it doesn't sound like this injury is a reason to cut him.
2 weeks ago in a 10-team one catcher league, I dropped him for, I take that back. I picked up Alejandro Kirk and benched Grandal, and then I saw how good Kirk was, so I dropped Grandal because it's like, I don't need him anymore.
But that's, there aren't a lot of Alejandro Kirks out there.
Oh, yeah. There was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So maybe that's who Gabriel Moreno is right now.
I mean, William Contreras is 71% rostered. MJ Melendez, 69%. Gabriel Moreno is 51%. So there could be some catchers out there in one catcher leagues. Let's move on to some other leftovers from the weekend. Some pitching regression that we saw. Martin Perez roughed up by the White Sox on Saturday. The White Sox absolutely crushed lefties. So just keep that in mind whenever you see them on the schedule. Martin Perez is at the Tigers this week. Chris, what did you see from your guy, Martin Perez? Would you still roll him out there at the Tigers this week?
At the Tigers, sure. They're bad.
Yes.
But I think he's not that good. So after that, if he has a rough matchup, I'll definitely sit him. And I think he's a fringe roster guy.
Fair enough. Eric Lauer gives up 3 homers at the Nationals, and he allowed 8 runs total in this start. His last 4 starts, Eric Lauer, 5.85 ERA. Whiffs are down, 13 strikeouts to 13 walks during that time period. Scott, would you start Eric Lauer at the Reds? Seems like he's kind of fallen off here.
I mean, it's a good enough matchup that I wouldn't automatically sit Lauer, but yeah, he looks like he's a fringy pitcher again. It's been going on long enough, and in all phases. You mentioned the 1-to-1 strikeout to walk rate over his last 5 starts. That's a terrible sign. I do want to mention for Martin Perez, his pitch selection was like back to his old pitch selection in this one start. It was fading the sinker, more cutters. Not a good formula for him, I don't think. I don't know why he did that in this most recent start, but that stood out to me for Martin Perez.
All right. Mackenzie Gore, we knew he wouldn't pitch to a sub-2 ERA all season long. He gave up 6 runs against the Rockies, and looks like his next start is in Coors Field. So I think we should probably avoid that, right, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Carlos Carrasco has had a few rough outings this season. The 4th time he has allowed 4 or more runs. He was at the Angels on Saturday. He gave up 5 runs in that start. His ERA jumps to 3.93. All of his underlying numbers still look pretty good. Scott, yeah. Would you start Carrasco at home against the Brewers this week?
Yeah, it wouldn't be automatic, but it just depends who else I have. You mentioned the underlying numbers. They do. It's been really frustrating because 3.34 xFIP, 12.9 swinging strikeout rate. That's like a top 10 sort of rate. I don't know why the results have been so infrequently there for him.
Scott, I'll also give you Aaron Ashby, who was destroyed at the Nationals on Friday. He gave up 6 runs, 13 hits over 4 2/3 innings pitched, and he is at the Mets this week. Before we started, you said you have some thoughts on Aaron Ashby.
Oh, yeah. No, you keep going with Ashby. Ashby's great. Ashby, this isn't Martin Perez where he has a bad start and, you got to wonder if it's all falling apart. Ashby, his previous 2 starts, he had a combined 21 strikeouts, first of all. So we were thrilled then. of the 13 hits he gave up Friday, 11 were singles. And one of the two that wasn't a single was an 82.5 mile per hour triple. So I don't know what that looked like, but
probably yeah. fun.
It looked like an out off the bat, I can tell you that. So yeah, I mean, it was just, he just had bad luck in this start, I think was mainly the issue. And there's a lot to like there for Ashby still.
All right, we're rolling with him. We had a few pitchers return this weekend. Shane Baz, not great. Gave up 5 runs over 2 1/3. He's at the Orioles this week. Tyler McGill gave up 2 runs over 3 1/3 innings pitched at the Angels. He's going up against the Brewers this week. And then Clayton Kershaw was at the Giants. He gave up 2 runs over 4 innings pitched. Got his pitch count up to 71. And he's going up against the Guardians this week. Chris, what do you think about those matchups? We got Baz at the Orioles, McGill versus the Brewers, and Kershaw versus the Guardians.
All systems go across the board. Start all of them.
Fair enough. All right, some pitching standouts. Part one, Luis Severino. Back-to-back double-digit strikeout efforts. This one was up against the Cubs on Friday. Jose Berríos looks a lot like Jose Berríos his last two starts. He was at the Tigers. He gave up 1 run over 8 innings pitched with 5 strikeouts. Joe Musgrove makes it 11 for 11 in quality starts this season. He goes 6 shutout and had 8 strikeouts. And then Zach Wheeler, another great start. This one up against the Diamondbacks, 6 shutout with 8 strikeouts himself. Over his last 8 starts, Zach Wheeler, 1.42 ERA, 0.95 whip, 64 strikeouts over 50 2/3 innings pitched. He is awesome. Scott, anything you'd like to add on Wheeler, Musgrove, Berríos, and Severino?
Yeah, so you mentioned Berríos has looked like himself the last 2 starts, and yeah, they both were great. 4 of his last 5 starts have been quality starts. Now, the one that wasn't was so bad that it hasn't improved his overall numbers that much this stretch. But I feel like I feel like he's really trending in the right direction now. And you may have missed your window to buy low based on the way these last 2 starts have gone.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that stood out for this start was that he still isn't getting many whiffs. Not that he has ever been someone who gets a lot of swings and misses.
He got a ton in his last start. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, he was up against the Tigers. He had 7 swinging strikes. He actually allowed more hard hit balls than he had swinging strikes. So that's been an issue for him this year. And, you know, it's look, if he's going up against a better lineup than the Tigers, you know, I think that, you know, that team would make him pay. More than the Tigers would, obviously.
Okay.
All right, some pitching standouts part two from the weekend. Jordan Montgomery.
Wait. So would you use this as an opportunity to sell high on Berríos? I mean, his ERA is still not that great, so I don't know if you could sell high. But
I think I would. Like, I've been pretty consistently like worried about Berríos this year just because his swinging strike rate keeps trending down and he's allowing a lot of hard contact. He does have a long track record. You know, maybe he... This is just who he is, and he'll be fine. I like him this week. He's going up against the Orioles, but yeah, personally, I would try and cash out. I would try to sell Berríos.
Do you have him in any leagues that we play in together?
No, I don't.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. I had him in one league, the Scott White Dynasty League, and I traded him to Chris.
Yeah. So.
Your
How's
problem,
that going, Chris?
Yeah, I would say your problem now, Chris. But
we're rounding the corner.
You gave me Trevor Rogers in return, so it's, you know, we're
Really worked out.
It's not really great anyway. Pitching standouts part two. Jordan Montgomery went 7 shutout against the Cubs with 5 strikeouts. He had 17 swinging strikes on 96 pitches. Julio Urías, an awesome start at the Giants on Sunday. 6 innings, 2 runs, 10 strikeouts to 0 walks. Carlos Rodon, we really needed to see something, you know, get back on track here. He's got a.
Oh, we didn't.
What?
No, go ahead. Say what you're going to say about Carlos Rodon. I'm mad at him because I lost in 2 head-to-head points leagues this week by a combined 3.5 points.
Ouch.
And this great start for Carlos Rodon Sunday was one of the many things that led to one of those losses. And that was the one that was the podcast league. So that's the difference between me being 4-5 and me being 3-6. In that league, which is a very big difference.
Damn.
And yeah, I was the 3rd highest score for the week in that one. I was the 2nd highest score in the other. And incidentally, not even those two leagues where I lost by the combined 3.5, but in the 2014 Dynasty League, I was the 2nd highest score for the week and lost. Doesn't bother me as much. It's a rebuild year, but wow. What a crappy week. crappy week.
I'm sorry, Scott. Mm. I do like I like it when you get angry, though. It's, you know, it's makes for good podcasting.
I'm not angry. I'm depressed.
It's funny to him. He's actually laughing about it.
No. Carlos Rodon, by the way, he had a 6 ERA over his previous 5 starts. So I do think we needed to see a great start, and that we did. Robbie Ray, what happened here on Sunday? Just completely changes his pitch mix. It worked, so I'm not mad about it, but he fires his first scoreless outing of the season up against the Red Sox. Pretty good lineup. 7 shutout, had 4 strikeouts. Throws a sinker in this one 48% of the time. And entering Sunday, he used that pitch 2% of the time. So what's going on? Chris, what do you think? Robbie Ray, Carlos Rodon, Julio Urias, and Jordan Montgomery.
Robbie Ray kind of just sounds like a guy who's looking for answers. And so he's going to tinker until he finds something that works consistently. I don't think this approach is going to work for him consistently. There's basically never been a version of... There have been multiple versions of Robbie Ray that have been good for fantasy. None of them have featured him throwing his slider 18% of the time. So I think it's going to be back to the drawing board at some point. Urias, I think, is mostly just back. Like, the velocity is not where it was last season, but he remains a standout in terms of quality of contact, suppression, and the strikeouts have been back the last handful of starts. So I mostly feel pretty good about him. He's still a top, I think, 12 pitcher for me. And I probably need to give Montgomery more credit than I have, but I don't want to give him too much credit because I don't know how long he can survive with this kind of strikeout rate. So I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with him. I probably need to move him up. He's 84 for me. He could probably stand to move up a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah, Montgomery is interesting. His strikeout rate is down, yet he has a career-high 14% swinging strike rate. So it doesn't really add up. It seems like he should be getting more strikeouts than he is. It could be like a sequencing thing or something like that, but... overall, he's been pretty damn good. That is Jordan Montgomery. Let's quickly rapid fire do some starter sit with some of these pitchers as well. Paul Blackburn went 8 shutout innings. He is at Boston this week. I know he's pitched well, Scott, but I feel like I would want to stay away from Blackburn there.
Yeah, I've never believed in him. I will sit him.
All right. Tristan McKenzie has now gone 6-plus innings in 7 starts in a row. And the problem is that he's at Coors Field this week. Chris.
Yeah, no way you can start him at Colorado, a guy who's that homer prone. I like him, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Although, like, I could see him going 6 innings, giving up 3 solo home runs. Like, that's the kind of pitcher he is.
Yeah, it could be. Hunter Green, his last 7 starts, he has a 3.20 ERA, 0.99 whip, 13.6% swinging strike rate. He is at home against the Brewers this week. What do you think, Scott?
I lean start. I could see how you might want to prioritize volume if you have options, but I'd lean start on Green.
I feel like the fastball's been a lot better for him lately.
The last 2 starts, for sure. He didn't throw it as much in this one as the previous one, but yeah, it has been. I mean,
he's up to a 28% swing strike rate or whiff rate on it, which for a fastball is really good. Even, you know, when it gets hit really hard, but. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to really believe in Hunter Green.
All right. Well, it only took us 57 minutes, but we've made it to Charlie Morton. He once again gives up some runs in the first inning, but then he settles down and he goes 6, gives up 4 runs, 12 strikeouts, 23 swinging strikes. So still lots of good, but I mean,
you got to like the trajectory he's on. It's just keep the runs off the board, you know?
This is the... Luis Castillo versus the Rangers. I've made the Luis Castillo comp for him over and over this season. There was a start last year against the Giants, where he had 11 strikeouts but gave up 3 runs in 5 innings, and that was like right around when he started figuring out. This is that point.
Chris, would you start him at the Cubs this week?
Yeah.
All right. Blake Snell, actually. Nice bounce back performance. 6 innings, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts against the Rockies. The problem is that he's at Coors Field this week. So I assume no thanks, Scott.
Yeah, I'm still not that trustful of him anyway. But yeah, especially not at Colorado.
All right. And then Patrick Sandoval, solid bounce back up against the Mets. 6 innings, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts. He had 20 swinging strikes in this start. He is at the Mariners this week. Chris, what do you think about that matchup for him?
Yeah, I'm still starting him. There's a lot of red flags here, but I think he can pitch better. Even like the results have been good. The process has been pretty mediocre, but just throw the changeup more, man. It's such a good pitch. I don't know why it's his third most thrown pitch this season.
Has it been as good for him this year? I feel like there have been a few starts where it's gotten like no whiffs or one whiff. It got 10 whiffs today, so it was...
Last I saw, it still had like a 45% whiff rate.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 48% entering today. It was 51% last year. The pitch is a freaking monster.
Yeah, he's just got to use it more. He's got a 100 batting average against on his changeup. Yeah. So, come on, Patrick Sandoval. Hitters coming around in June. I'm actually going to save this for tomorrow when we take a closer look at offense in June overall. The call to the bullpen, we'll wrap up with this. Danny Jimenez, we mentioned he's been struggling. Was there anyone that you guys are looking to speculate on? I mentioned AJ Puck.
I guess Puck. I don't know. He's been awesome. He's been really good. But I don't know.
There is another fellow.
I never really want to speculate on the bad teams.
That's true.
Especially if there's no like obvious guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Zach Jackson, I think, is someone who gets a lot of swinging strikes, but I can't really tell you much about Zach Jackson. For the Cardinals, Ryan Helsley got his fourth save this weekend. He's only 52% rostered. So if you need saves in a 10-12 team league, he could be out there for you. For the Twins on Saturday, Yoan Duran pitched in the 8th inning with a 1-run lead. He faced 5, 6, and 7 in the Rays lineup. Emilio Pagan then pitched in the 9th, and he picked up his 8th save of the season. For the Giants on Saturday, Camilo Duvall entered in the 8th inning of a 1-run game with runners on 2nd and 3rd. He walked Chris Taylor and then struck out both Gavin Lux and Mookie Betts. Lefty Jose Alvarez picked up the save 1 inning later. And then on Sunday, Jake McGee picked up the save for the Giants. So, Scott, do you have any feel for what's going on with the Giants right now? Or is Duvall just their highest leverage arm and that's it, basically?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think Gabe Kapler has lost so much confidence in the rest of his bullpen that he no longer feels like he can confine Duvall to the 9th inning. And so he's just kind of been using them all over the place. So he's still probably the reliever to have from that bullpen. But, you know, if you play in a shallower league where somebody like Helsley is out there, it probably makes sense to make the switch.
Yeah. And I think Duvall is still over 70% rostered. So I think that is a move that makes a ton of sense. For the Reds on Sunday, Art Warren pitched in the 5th inning with the game tied. Tony Santian pitched in the 7th inning with a 2-run lead at the time. Alexis Diaz is someone I've mentioned multiple times. I think he's the best reliever for the Reds. He pitches in the 9th, gave up a homer, but also picked up his 2nd save of the season. The Reds are not very good, so I guess this is just for deeper leagues. But
they've been better.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not very good.
All right, to stream or not to stream, let's start with Monday. We've got Mitch Keller at the Cardinals. We love Mitch Keller. Zach Thompson, not the Zach Thompson who pitches for the Pirates. There's a Cardinals pitcher named Zach Thompson. He's going up against the Pirates. Very confusing. Justin Steele is going up.
Is Zach Thompson pitching on the other side of that game?
No, it's Mitch Keller.
No, he pitched today.
Yeah, that would have been sick, right?
That would have been fun, though.
Zach Thompson. Justin Steele versus the Padres. Mike Minor at the Diamondbacks. Brady Singer at the Giants. Chris Archer at the Mariners, and Chris Flexen versus the Twins.
I think I don't want any of them.
Yeah, Singer's the only one I would be moderately interested in, but not really.
Yeah. Archer probably won't give you a win because he doesn't go deep, but he's been okay for the Twins. Tuesday, we've got JT Brubaker at the Cardinals, Matthew Liberatore versus the Pirates, Zach Eflin versus the Marlins, Trevor Rogers at the Phillies, and Yusei Kikuchi versus the Orioles.
Eflin.
Yep.
I think it's a pretty good start. Kikuchi, it's okay. I might try Trevor Rogers at the Phillies, but that could go very badly too.
Yeah. Not much confidence there right now for Trevor Rogers, and rightfully so. We're going to wrap there for Scott and Chris. I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye. worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.